I believe Brother Tom Fay needs no introduction to the Seattle audience. Some of the brethren, we appreciate their efforts year by year. I know we'll miss Brother and Sister Fowler this year. I think they're in Minneapolis. But we do appreciate the privilege we have and the subject that our dear Brother Tom Fay has selected. And I presume the family of God, we might say it different ways, but suppose we would emphasize the family of God. Well, dear friends, we're very happy and very thankful to be here at this time. If one would only have the privilege of coming here and greeting the brethren as they come in to the convention hall, I think they could go away from here and say, I've been blessed. Truly, when we think of the family of God, naturally we think of a family of the flesh, because we have to compare certain things concerning natural families to help us to appreciate the family of God. But before going into this relationship, I do bring you the love and greetings from Los Angeles. I want to get the jump on my brethren. I know they've also have been instructed to bring the love of the Los Angeles friends to you. There are a lot of them there, and there are a lot of love there. And there are a lot of them that would like to be here, and there's a lot of them we wish could be here. Then we stopped at San Jose, and there's just a small class there, but there's a lot of love there that they also want to be remembered here also. And a number of the friends in San Francisco want to be personally remembered here at this convention. And of course, in meeting with several of the friends here, it made our heart sad, because there would be some say, oh, I wish I could just jump in that car and go right along with you. And we wish that we had a Greyhound bus at that time with plenty of money to say, come right along, bring the children, come right along to the convention. Because we realize that this is something like a family reunion. When you come to a convention, you meet so many that say, well, I didn't know whether I was going to make it or not. I just so much wanted to be there to the convention, and the Lord knew it. I went to the heavy throne of grace and told the Lord that I wanted to be there at Seattle and so forth. And of course, I did see how the Lord worked out certain things that had helped me to come here to the Seattle convention. Now, if it was one of the world, and we'll say the natural family, sometimes if they want to have a family reunion, you'll hear one of them maybe get up and say, especially if he is not a God-fearing person, well, I didn't know whether I was going to get to come or not, but I had a boss, and this boss said, well, you couldn't take off. But I got him told. I got up there and I told him, here, I put in many years of my very best efforts. Now, I think you should let me go there and enjoy myself. I've earned a lot of money for you. I've made a lot of money for you. And they generally get the boss told sometimes. But I've often thought of some of the brethren. In fact, I've talked to some as we greeted in there and said, well, I just didn't know whether I was going to get to come to the convention or not. I was a little concerned, because at times it didn't look too bright. I didn't know whether the boss was going to let me off or not. But I told him why I wanted to come. That I wanted to come to a convention of I was going to meet here, and of course, they, in the back of their mind, they thought of being in the family of God. They knew that there was somebody there that would have something that they needed, that would be a blessing to them, that would encourage them to keep on keeping on. They realized also that maybe they had something. And every one of us that God has called and has given us your truth do have something to contribute to their brother. God has placed the members in the body that will be suitable for that body, and that will be suitable for the work that they are to perform. And we know in the development that we do have things that we can do for one another. That's why we're admonished to gather together as often as possible. And I thought, too, that when one has planned a family reunion and invited their families to come, I thought of the families of being maybe individual classes that is scattered abroad. And when the invitations are sent out, well, of course, the whole family would like to come, but of course, there are certain members of the ecclesia that are unable to come. And of course, when the invitations are sent out, often they'll say, well, we're going to have one special dinner. We'll have one special dinner there. And of course, you think of going to your family reunion of mom doing the cooking. And she's going to prepare everything. And she's going to have the meal all ready for you. And of course, she knows just exactly what you like. Because you know that you were once her boy or her girl in the family. And she knows just exactly the things that would be pleasing to you. And of course, we think, too, then of the family that is invited. We think of them bringing their children, their babes, and their younger ones. And we know that how, first of all, what is necessary before this meal would be served in a family reunion? Well, I could just hear my mom, when we had her five boys there at home and it was all together and everything, we'll say, has all the children been notified that dinner's about ready? Have they washed? Have they cleaned up? And I know that some of the older ones then, when they'd hear about the children should be cleaned up, that the older ones have happened to think about, well, now dinner's ready, I better get ready myself. Well, I thought of this convention in connection with that. Each and every one of you are going to have a blessing. And it's up to you and to me as to whether we're going to make the most of this convention. Because we're to clean house, clean our heart, get rid of any envy, any strife, any malice, or anything of that sort that's in our heart. If we're going to be able to drink in the truth and appreciate fully. I don't think this convention will be one without a trial or an experience. I don't know of any convention yet that someone wouldn't have a trial or an experience at it. But our prayers are that if they do have, that this trial will be one that they'll make the most of, that we know that no trial for the moment is joyous, that it's grievous. But afterwards, if we get why the Lord permitted the trial, then it can become a great stepping stone. And it's as a step forward the Lord. We know that when a group of friends are going together like this, and they all from these various classes have their family traits, the way they study, and listen, dear friends, I was pleased very much when I walked down the aisle here just a few minutes ago or there in the hallway and saw just a little youngster from Los Angeles. Well, I don't talk to her very much there in Los Angeles. But when she saw me, she looked up and smiled, the sweetest smile. She knew that I was from Los Angeles, from that particular family there. While she knew that we were all coming here to be with our brethren up here to enjoy. And when she gave me that smile and everything, I thought, well, there's one of the little children down there at Los Angeles. Then we think not only of the little children, in fact, but we also think of the babes in Christ and what they mean to us. One that has the truth, the spirit of the truth, when they have one that comes in their midst, that we see that is just partaking of these things that we hold so near and dear to our hearts, how heartwarming it is. And how we're thrilled when we get one in the midst. Then I often think, too, that when we come to a convention, we see some of these children that are growing up. Like I saw the French boys, or the grandsons of Brother French. And, of course, I'm already reluctant saying, oh, how you've grown. Because I heard one time that of a child everyone that came in said, oh, you've grown so much. But finally this boy says, well, what did you expect? So I told them that story, and they really got a kick out of it, and I did too, in as much as I saw how they had grown in stature. Well, do you know that it helps us to appreciate when we come to a convention like this and meet one that maybe made a consecration, symbolized their consecration several years ago, then you talk with one and see them manifesting the Spirit of the Lord and see how they've grown in grace and in knowledge. It's thrilling, isn't it? Isn't it thrilling when you see that they too have grown up, and some of them in a natural family. You'll see someone come on in to the convention and say, well, this is my first time coming here. Oh, I've heard so much about your friends here. My parents, or the family there, my own immediate family, told me what wonderful family it was here, and what a wonderful thing it was to get together in convention. Well, we had that experience. We had our sister from Phoenix, Arizona, that finally told us that she was going to come to the Seattle Convention July the 4th. Then we got to bring her along and show her brethren up along the coast, and how she was thrilled that she met first one and the other. And then we said, oh, you'll just love it when you get to Seattle, because they're grand people there. Well, why shouldn't they be grand people? The Father's the one that has placed his hands upon each of us. You've been called with a heavenly calling. You've been given precious promises. You're God's workmanship. Why can't we, or why shouldn't we appreciate our brethren here in convention? And I often think of something that my big brother, Russell Pollard, said long time ago. He says, going around from place to place, meeting the various classes, says, I'm awfully glad that there's not just one of them that has a monopoly on the Lord's Spirit. But you know how often we are in our classes, we say, well, we've got the best class. Well, that's perfectly natural that you think, well, you've got a very fine class because you're very closely associated with them. And we know that we have trials and experiences with them that can only produce that love that the Heavenly Father is looking for. We love them in spite of their faults and their shortcomings. That's the Spirit of the Lord. It isn't that those that can come around and say, well, Brother Tom, I certainly agree with you 100%. The way you express yourself and those thoughts is wonderful, wonderful. No, it's when one will say, Tom, I think they're just a little bit off there on that. I tell you what I think is really the truth on that. And then they'll try to tell you just that you've been all wrong and so forth. Well, now, then's when you have to put forth a little effort. That's when you have to put just a little bit more effort to appreciate that one. But we do, dear friends, and we know that we're all trying to do that. Now, if we come here and think that everyone that gets up here on the platform is going to present thoughts that you can say amen to everything, I got news for you. I don't think that'll be true. If it is, it'll be a marvel. I've never attended anything like that in my life. But I will say this. God has given us teachers. He's given us the prophets to draw from, the apostles, the early church. And can you remember what Paul told them back there? Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. God is the one that's going to yield the increase. There's going to be plenty of food here for every one of us. No one is going to go be turned away hungry if they're thirsting and are hungering for righteousness. And if they're looking for the truth, and they start looking for Christ's likeness in one another, and they try to get the lesson and get the thought and see how the brother arrives at that thought that is expressed, maybe that you might not agree with. They can't do any harm, dear friends. Because if you do search, and then you say, well, now, I didn't have thus saith the Lord for this, and then you finally prove what you had thought previously, it will, that truth will be more of your truth then than it was before. Yes, the Heavenly Father Himself loveth you. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. The truth that you have now is because God has opened your eyes, and He's the one that will yield the increase. I often think of this in connection with our Lord. Our Lord, never a man spake like that man. And I'm sure that He could make the truth just as clear, and His point of truth just as clear. But how many appreciated what He taught? How many agreed with our Lord? He said many things to them that they turned and wouldn't walk with Him anymore. They were hard things. Each of us that God has called and received this call and has made a covenant by sacrifice and been accepted, it's up to each and every one of us then to realize that there's not a one that has been accepted the Lord, that has made this step, that has all the answers. They don't have all the answers. And if they ever get to the point to where they think they've got all the answers, it'll just be too bad. It'll be too bad. Because Paul realized, the great apostle Paul, that he had to grow in grace and knowledge until the end of his course. No wonder when we read that in Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, we want to think of our heart condition now entering this 3 days in convention. Examine your hearts and your minds. Do you have any ought? Do you have ought against any of your brethren? Are you just thinking now as you sit down here for the meal, so to speak? I wonder just what is going to be served. So I can look around and say, well, I see Brother Baker here, there's a couple of Brother Bakers, and Brother Pollock, and I see Brother Chambers. I wonder what they're going to talk about. Well, I know that we're going to find out, and I know it's going to be good if we're in the proper heart condition, because our security and our safety is in the Word of God. That's our protection. And He says if we have the truth and we have the Spirit of truth, it will guide us into all truth. If one of us would be stumbled by something that was said, well then how would we apply this scripture to us individually, personally? Blessed is he that loves thy law, and nothing shall offend. We've come here to learn more about our Heavenly Father and His plans and His purposes. We've come here to learn more about our relationship to our Father and to our Lord and Savior and to one another. We need one another. We need the Lord, and we need our Father's help. I can think of when we sit down to the table for the family reunion, and you'll hear one of the youngsters say, you'll have to eat that. Can't I pass this up? I've been pretty good. I've made some of these other things, but do I really have to eat out of that little chair? You say, no. For goodness sake, don't talk too loud and don't tell them that you don't like it. That's rude. Take a little bit, it won't hurt you. Oh, last time I ate some of that there, it made me sick. I just couldn't go. That's all. Whenever I look at that now, I think of when I got sick. Well, maybe you didn't chew it all right. Maybe you ate too fast. Well, okay, I'll take it. I love it. It makes me think of something, and I think you'll get a blessing out of this. I know I did. We're in a small class Well, I'm going to mention the name. You all know that I was one time in Phoenix, Arizona, many years ago. And we had a brother that was coming through there to speak to us. He was a guest speaker. And so we had a brother there that had just symbolized his consecration just not too long prior to this time. So when this guest speaker came, of course, we had him to speak to us at 11 o'clock and again at 2. And one of the local brethren gives the evening talk. So this new one was there in the truth, and he was a diamond in the rough. He was one that had never had been connected with any of the denominational churches at all. He hadn't been religiously inclined until he found the truth. And he was just as hard as nails in the world, just a rough man. But he gave his heart to the Lord, he consecrated and started studying the Lord's Word. So this morning that this guest speaker spoke, he sat through that. Then at 2 o'clock when the guest speaker got up, he told us afterwards, he said, when he got up there to speak again, I thought, well, no, not again. That brother's going to speak again? Well, they've got others here that could give a better lesson than him. Why him? But he didn't tell us this until after this brother gave this talk, or started, had given the talk in the morning, and then after this 2 o'clock talk, he came to me for Tom. The Lord has really taught me something. I got a wonderful lesson out of this talk here at 2 o'clock. Well, I said, didn't you like the morning talk? Oh, no, he said. Well, I said, what was wrong? He says, I just didn't even like his look. I didn't like the way that he'd make certain gestures. He said, it looked too feminine. Well, I said, I had never thought of anything like that. But he said, well, it did. But said, you know what happened? He said, do you remember what he talked on the afternoon? I said, yes, I do, on our trials and tribulations and on being trials to one another. He says, when the brother was talking, he said, I know nobody told him what was going through my mind because I hadn't told anybody my reaction from the morning meeting. But I'm telling you now. This brother says, you know, sometimes we can be a trial, a speaker, to one another, not even be conscious of it. He says, I might be a trial to that brother right there. Well, he said, I sat up, and he said, I sat there, and I took notice of everything that brother brought out in that time long. I got a blessing. Now I wish, now if it had been back in the days of the tape recorders, he could have played that talk back on over. He'd got something out of it, I'm sure. Because he says, I must have missed some blessings out of that first talk because I was thinking of the brothers. I was looking flesh. I wasn't thinking of what he was saying. I wasn't trying to get the point. But he said, I got every point from that time on. Let us think of that during this convention. If you have some prior thought about a brother and you heard this brother make a remark at one time that didn't agree with you, and it's a little hard to tag, let us think. And let's when that brother gets up here, just say a little prayer. Let's draw very close to the Lord, and then let's watch what the brother has to say, and be very attentive to what the brother has to say. You know, no matter what I say up here, whether it be truth or an untruth, I couldn't cause any one of you, if you're properly exercised, to not make your calling election sure. Because you'll never be able to say, if it hadn't been for Tom Say, I could have made my calling election sure. Or I can't say, if it hadn't been for you, I could have made mine. Because the Heavenly Father has made ample provision for each one that he's called and been accepted. That you can be faithful if you put your hands and all you have in his hands. Let us remember that. He that called you is able to help you to fulfill that covenant that you've made. I think of this first couple of meetings, and I'm cleaning up, getting ready for the meal, and this first meeting more like a salad. Children don't like that, do they, as a rule? They'll say, well, do I have to eat this too? And I know that our parents generally tell us, yes, now it's good, and it's an appetizer. Well, I think of that in connection with our bitter trials. Let us think if we do have an experience, let us not wait until we have to go on home a year from now to learn the lesson. Let us try to get the lesson now, because we know that we might have one thing said that could spoil your whole convention, and that would be bad witness. If you hear something that you don't agree with, don't let it spoil your convention. Now, when I'm talking like this, I'll probably have trials right along that line. So I ask that you pray for me, that I might be properly exercised. Why can I speak this way? Because I have, in years past, or at one time or another, have had this happen right to me. And we can get so busy and so wrapped up in self and what comes to us in experiences, life experiences, that we lose sight of the heavenly vision. We also lose sight of the providential care of our Heavenly Father. Yes, we think that the Heavenly Father has been the one that has worked out things for each and every one of us to be here, that is here. Now, there are going to be some, as we mentioned before, that will not be able, that were not able to come here and attend this convention. There's going to be enough food here that you can take some of it home to those friends, if you keep in the right heart condition yourself, because you'll be looking for points of truth. You'll be looking for something that you can do. When you go home, you can pass on to family. Yes. And then, when you go back, you can tell them of some of the youngsters that have grown up now in the Lord. You can tell them of some that perhaps they're just taking their first steps now that will be symbolized in their consecration. And when you go back there to pass the blessing on to them, it'll be just like taking one up the Oregon coast for the first time and showing the beauty. You'll say, "Isn't this wonderful? Oh, I so much, oh, I'm so happy that you're right along here to see these things with me." When you go back to your classes, how much more you had to tell them of what the Lord is and how the Lord had blessed you here at this convention. But if we have any envy and malice and strife or vainglory in our hearts, when we go back, we won't have much to pass on, dear friends. Won't have much to pass on at all. All we can tell them maybe about our trip. So the purpose of this convention, then, is for what? Is to draw us very close to our Heavenly Father, and very close to one another, and to our Lord and Savior. We'll have a talk here with the public. That's something that will make our hearts glad when we see various ones coming in, that we'll see others that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Then we'll have testimony meetings. And the testimony meetings is where we all take a part in that and get up and tell what the Lord has done and how He's been working with us. God's workmanship. We're interested in just how the Holy Spirit of God is operating in your life. And just how the Lord is working and helping you and aiding you into to this narrow way. Then we'll have the fellowship. We'll be looking around our friends to see someone that maybe has been isolated, or someone that that maybe the friends aren't all flocked around. Pick out these little ones that the Lord loves very much too. And sometimes when you do that, you'll get some of the richest blessings you ever got in your life. I know I've heard of one that's gone out on this trip up here and visited many isolated friends, and they could hardly talk for joy telling about calling on these ones that was isolated out here and out there. This is the Spirit of the Lord, dear friends. When we're thinking of those things, we forget about the trials and the testing and the polishing and the chiseling that we get. These are the things that make the truth so sweet to us. Just like Brother French says, let us go away from here and say, this is the best convention yet. We can say it, dear friends, if we're in the true and proper heart condition. So let us think then, when we see these various dishes, comes out, liken them to the various ones, the different vessels that the Lord will use of bringing out these messages of truth. Let us not look at the dish and think, well, I know one time I had a particular meal that was served in a dish just like that. I think I'll pass that up. Let's not think of that. Let's think of the food and the meat that is being served. And I'm sure that if we do, the Lord will richly bless you. So go away from here much stronger in the Lord. Another thing, I do have a suggestion that when our brother opens with prayer, instead of just bowing our heads, let's enter into that prayer right along with him. If we enter in that prayer right along with him, then our hearts will be in the condition to receive that message that will be given at that time. If we just lend ourselves to all the things that our Heavenly Father will pour out here at this convention, I know that we'll be able to go away from here and say, it has been wonderful to be here. And then if you have something that is just a little bit hard, or one, you know what we do right before memorial, I will try to clean house before then to partake of that memorial. Let's have that same spirit here, will you? I want you to pray that I might have that same spirit, that we might not leave any earthly clouds to appear that will hinder us from receiving the full measure of the blessings that will be here when such a gathering as this has come together. Because I'm sure that every one of you has been praying for the success of this convention. And the Lord can answer that prayer, and he will answer it to all those that clean house, that is ready for this meal, to be able to sit down and enjoy it. And then they'll also enjoy seeing those about them enjoying the meal. And when we get interested in one another, then we forget self, and that is so important. You know, when we get to thinking of self and get to feeling sorry for self, then we're very conscious of everything that is being done to us wrongfully. Say, did you see the way that brother looked at me? Did you see the way he shook hands? Well, he wasn't even friendly. He didn't ask me anything about his friends back home or anything. When we get to thinking in those terms, the adversary can just help us right along to where you'll start to... After a while, you'll be telling just exactly what the brother's thinking. You start to read his mind. We know we can't do that. But God is the one that reads the heart. So if we guard our hearts, and our hearts in the right, proper attitude, we can take comfort from saying, I know God knows my heart. But if we have anything in there that we wouldn't want our brother to know that was in our heart, God does know that. Let us remember that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let us direct our thinking and our conduct. Another thing I would like to mention is that there was a little fellow just 12 years of age that we met on the way up here. When we got to this place, he says, oh, I'm sorry I had to go out on the paper route. He went out and put out his papers. Come on back, says, when are you folks leaving? I said, the first thing in the morning, I want to get into Seattle. Well, he says, isn't that too bad? Says, I thought we were going to have a little fellowship. He wanted to talk about the truth and about the Lord. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be wonderful to load him right in the car and bring him on up? But he had too many obligations. I spoke out of turn that he had to do before leaving today. But he says, I said, well, I'll see you at the convention. He says, I'll be there if I have to ride the top of that car. So I'm sure that he's here. Those things is something that we want to catch, that childlikeness we had and the hunger we had for the truth when we first got it. When we first got the truth, we saw our brethren, didn't see any fault, any shortcomings. All we could see, well, as we often say, we was looking for the wings to be sprouting right out any time. And then we thought, well, how could we attain to what those brethren are attaining to and what they have attained to? Because we thought that they were almost perfect right then. And say, well, do you think we'll ever know the truth as those brethren know the truth? And we marveled at the things that they would utter. And we were so wrapped up in learning the truth, we didn't find fault with any of them. But suddenly, sometimes we forget that first love. And just the condition of heart that we were in when we first heard the truth. Just as soon as we get up there, well, then we start to, well, we start to maybe setting ourselves up as a standard. It's easy to do, dear friends. Like I've often said, when we talk about a brother that don't have a spirit of a sound mind, it's because he doesn't reason like we do. Often that's the case. He is not manifesting the spirit of a sound mind. Why? Well, because if he was, he wouldn't do the things he's doing. Well, why wouldn't you do those things? No, I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't do it that way at all. Think of what motivates each action and word that we're saying during this convention. It'd be good practice, wouldn't it? It'd be very good. Let us walk as children of light, as though we're right in that day, during these 3 days that we're here. I don't mean that that's the only time we want to do that. But this would be a good time to clean house and start out with a good meal. And with the strength to carry out that covenant sacrifice and take a new hope, a new lease on life, as the world puts it. And it is a new lease on life when we get the power and the benefit of our Heavenly Father when it's being manifested in our daily actions, in our words, in our doings. When we're eating this salad now and getting ready for the meal and cleaning up and everything, how wonderful it is sometimes to sit there at the table and say, well, what do you think they're going to serve there? Is that the roast beef you smell there, or what is it? And you're always wondering in your mind. Sometimes a child says, well, what is it here anyhow? What you going to have here? But with the child of God, of course, as a matured one, why, they sit there and they don't want to say just exactly what it is, but they would like to know. But I often think of how that helps us in being hungry after the food that's going to be served. I can see the different dishes here that's going to talk, and wouldn't it be wonderful to know just exactly what they were going to say? No, I don't think so. I'm one of those that like to go on in and sit down and want a surprise. They say, lots of time I know my wife will say, Tom, what will we have for dinner? Well, I don't know what to suggest. Well, you just go ahead and pick out something. I know what what I like and everything, and that's a wonderful surprise sometimes. You know one thing that I know you're going to get, though, if you're in the right heart condition? You're going to get just the very thing that the Lord wants you to get. You're going to have something said here today, or tomorrow, and the next day, that will be very meaningful for you in carrying out your covenant of sacrifice. Because this is the way the Lord does feed us. Things don't just happen to us. It didn't just happen. We got here at the convention. It didn't going to just happen. If some brother, just like the one that I said, just point out this brother, the Lord knew that he needed a lesson right then and says, I might be a trial to that brother. And how often that you can be in a class, you have a brother come on through, and you know that he hadn't talked to anyone else until he got right up there on the platform. And if you're looking, you'll see that it seemed like that everything that that brother said was directed right to that one that was looking for the lesson. And I think often that the Lord works just that way. If we do something and we start to looking at the one that we're trying to bring a lesson, and that was what was in our heart, and we say, well, now, here, I'm going to say something that will wake that brother up, the Lord wouldn't bless that. It would turn out to where it would be just reviling or reviling. It would be that thought in mind. Maybe the brother that said the other maybe didn't want a trial out of it. It wasn't trying to cause you a trial. But if you make something of it, the Lord can make something of it too. Can cause it or permit it to be a terrible trial. So let us examine our hearts at this time. Let us ask the Lord that he'll cleanse us in mind and heart. Let us wash up good. Now we might slip during this convention and might for a moment. But we know that those intentional things, that the robe of Christ's righteousness will cover those mistakes. But if we make any mistakes and say, well, that's just old Tom talking, that's just my way, I'm very plain spoken, and justify our course, the Lord can't bless us that way. He don't want us to be just ourselves. He wants us to get rid of self and more of the Lord in spirit. So let us put forth this effort in these 3 days. Then when the dessert is served at the end of this convention, the love feast, when we go on up to shake hands, we can honestly say, it has been good to be here. God bless you. I've appreciated your fellowship. And the Lord has wonderfully blessed me here at this convention. We'll mean every word of it. And we'll be able to do that to any one of them. And if we're not, be careful. Because, as I said before, no matter what is said by any brother, the only way it can hurt you if it affects your heart and your thinking. And we all have faulty reasoning at times, every one of us. So let us pray that we'll make the most of this convention, that we'll be drawn closer to one another, that we'll learn to appreciate God's workmanship. Let us not find fault with our brother's sacrifice. This is God's truth. He called you, and he said, son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe the way. So if our heart's right, it's going to give us a clear vision. We'll be able to drink in and partake of this heavenly food and this spiritual food that can enable us to make our calling election sure. May God bless each and every one of you.
If you are making any notes of the talks, which we found is very advisable, just please change your first talk from the family of God to the address of welcome. Of course, the local brethren don't allow much time, and we feel in the Lord's providence that it's very, very appropriate, the lessons brought to our attention. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. And if we sow and take these lessons into our hearts, we'll receive not only a blessing at the convention, but it'll continue with us throughout the days that are to come. There's also, we make these announcements briefly so as not to take time, this children's program 4 o'clock, the study, and 7:30 this evening is a movie, and that's right in the lower hall on that balcony. And may we rise and sing number 201, O Glorious Hope. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we come to close with this session, we thank Thee, Father, for all the goodness to us all the days of our life. We do thank Thee, Father, for our brethren, for those that have been permitted to meet here with us in this convention. We pray that Thy sweet Holy Spirit will be in our midst these days to come, and that we pray that Thy sweet Holy Spirit will go with us, that we'll have an increased portion of it, to help us to carry out our covenant of sacrifice. We ask Thy blessing upon the remainder meetings of this convention. We ask and thank Thee in Jesus, our Redeemer's name. Amen.